Eagles Entertainment.
With the 13th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select...
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
Welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by LifeFrand. I'm your host, Fran Duffy, and we are in the final week of our conference previews. We wrap things up today with the SEC. Go back into our feed if you haven't already, and be sure to check out the previews of all the other top conferences. But today, we work in the Southeast region of the country. Real quick about the conference. Current alignment, 14 teams, two divisions, and a title game. The two divisions in order of last year's standing. You got the SEC East, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, South Carolina, Florida, Vanderbilt. Then you've got the SEC West, Alabama, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Auburn, and LSU. So all of these teams always have quality talent. And if you look over the last five drafts in the top 20, the SEC has had 38 players selected. That is the same as the ACC and Big Ten combined. So there's always conversation. Oh, people spend too much time talking SEC, SEC, SEC. Well, the proof is in the pudding. You know, there's NFL talent in the SEC more so than any other conference, double so. And I think when you look at it from a position-by-position standpoint, that stands out. At quarterback, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, all coming from the top 20 of the last five drafts. At wide receiver, you got a bunch of Alabama players with Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams. You have Treylon Burks this past year, Kadarius Toney back in 2021. You have Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, coming out of LSU a couple of years ago. At tight end, you've got Kyle Pitts. Offensive line, a whole bunch of players. Frank Ragnow, Jonah Williams, Andrew Thomas, Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, Evan Neal, Charles Cross, and Kenyon Green, all from this past draft. A defensive line, only a couple pass rushers. Trayvon Walker goes number one this past year. We saw Josh Allen come out of Kentucky. Kalavon Chasen snuck into the top 20 coming out of LSU just a couple of years ago. Much more on the defensive tackle spot, though. Daron Payne, Quinnen Williams from Alabama, they're there in the top 20. Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best defensive tackles in football. Derek Brown coming out of Auburn, he's now with the Carolina Panthers. Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, obviously the Eagles' Jordan Davis this past year at 12 overall. At linebacker, three of the top players, in terms of young talent, Roquan Smith, Devin White, two of the big headliners at the position. Jameen Davis now going into year two with the Washington Commanders. In the secondary, you've got cornerback C.J. Henderson, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, and Derek Stingley Jr., some blue-chip players there with that group, and then safety Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, bunch of players here coming out of the top 20 in the last five drafts. The SEC just loaded with blue chip talent. Now, from a realignment standpoint, they made big news. With Texas and Oklahoma, they are coming in 2024. That was big news back last fall, last winter, potentially as early as next year with that move. And again, all that stuff is kind of in flux in terms of who's coming and when are they coming? When is it official? When is it not official? And it's really outside of Notre Dame. And where is Notre Dame going to go? Are they going to go to the Big Ten? Are they going to go to the ACC? Are they going to stay independent? Are they going to stand pat? All eyes are on the SEC. And if they try to make another move, and it goes back to what I was saying last week about the Big Ten, are there going to be two super conferences or are there going to be four super conferences? And really, if the SEC makes another big move or if the Big Ten makes another big move, I think we're going to be going towards more of that two super conference format. And so there's been rumors with the SEC. Do they go for Clemson? Do they go for Miami? Do they go for Florida State? Do they go for like a Virginia Tech, right? Do they try and branch out into some of these other schools? And so I'll be really interested to see what happens here moving forward. I think it would probably behoove some of those other conferences to jump in if that were the case. But we will see as conference realignment continues to rattle up college football. As always, I'm going to remind you guys, make sure you go on to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. If you've got a question about a prospect, jump on. Leave it there in our comment box. Next week, we're going to be doing a full kind of big takeaway show before the college football season gets underway. So you want to make sure if you've got a question about this class, about the team, about the season, whatever it is, head on over to the Journey of the Draft podcast page over on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a question in the comment box. We will answer it. I want to shout out Bear Cub Fan who left a 5-star review saying, been listening since the beginning. Absolutely love the conference previews this summer. So Bear Cub Fan, thanks so much for the 5-star review. And again, if you want to leave us a question, now's the time. Jump in. We'll answer it here as early as next week, right here on the Journey of the Draft podcast presented by LifeFrand. That said, I can't wait to talk through some of the top talent in the country. It's time to welcome in Ben and Dane for Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, well, like I said at the top of the show, excited to talk through the top prospects in the SEC as I welcome in Dane Brugler and Ben Fennell. And guys, look, the SEC loaded with talent every single year. This year, no exception. And it's funny, there are a bunch of guys that we're not going to hit on that have a chance to get drafted in like day two. Like, there are some really quality players in this conference from top to bottom. We'll start with a top overall prospect. And Dane, you are going to do the honors here to say the top overall prospect, regardless of position in the entire conference. So take us through the start here. Who do you have here as the number one prospect in the SEC?
Pretty easy for me. This is Will Anderson, edge rusher from Alabama. 6'4", 245 pounds, long arms, just a rare package of skills. Explosive, he's strong. The technical know-how is really impressive when I watched his tape. And then the play recognition, really off the charts. I mean, he terrorizes the backfield. And the crazy thing is, as dynamic as he is putting pressure on the pocket, he's actually a better run defender. So just a really smart guy. And look, Bryce Young's awesome. I know you're about to talk about him, Fran. How Anderson did not win the Heisman last year, it just boggles my mind. 102 tackles, led the nation in tackles for loss, 34 and a half, led the nation in sacks, 17 and a half. I mean, this is just a dominant, dominant player, easily the best player that I have scouted this summer. And really the only question is, okay, where does he fall in the rankings of these other top pass rushers we've seen the last, you know, 5-6 years, the Bosa brothers, Myles Garrett, Chase Young, you know, where is he? And I think there's no right or wrong. It's just the answer might be a little different for everybody, but he's in that conversation. It's just a matter of how high.
Ben, you asked me a few weeks back after I got done watching Anderson, you had studied Anderson. So do you see like anything you want him to improve on going into this year? Do you have any thoughts on that in terms of like, where can he grow as a junior?
That's a great question, and I think that's a lot of on people's minds heading into the college football season. He was the best player in college football last year, and I'm not sure it was even close. He was that much better than the next defender, the next offensive player, quarterback, whoever. I'm not entirely sure. I saw a full, complete body of work, and I think he's NFL ready. Maybe some finishing at times, as much as just, you know, not being as much of a disruptor and actually finishing certain plays, but I'm really nitpicking. And after seeing guys like Jamar Chase, you know, elect to opt out, and actually Chase opted out before all the COVID stuff had really kind of come down the college football pipe, and to see him be successful and his draft stock not take a hit, it's a thought, you know, to sit out college football and be a good teammate, go do an externship, finish your degree, you know, work on your body, stay healthy, and get ready for the draft next fall. I'm not really sure what the NFL scouts really want him to improve on.
Yeah, I think Bama obviously clearly trying to win that title, and I think that's the motivation, right, from his standpoint. But I think when you look at him, Dane, I don't know if you've got any, like, issues at all. I mean, look, listed 243, that's a little bit on the lighter side, so some people will want to see him get a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more refined with his hands, like Ben mentioned. But overall, this is a pretty clean prospect.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy thing. And anything that we say negative, it really is nitpicking. And in my edge rush preview on The Athletic, I wrote for needs to improve exactly what Ben said. And that's some of the finishing issues. And it's kind of crazy that I just mentioned his stats, 102 tackles, and he left some production out there. So, I mean, what his production could have been if he just cleans a little bit of that up. And so it'll be interesting now. He's got a target on his back, you know, and so how is he going to respond to seeing maybe a little more attention? I mean, not that he didn't already. I mean, teams knew they had to stop Will Anderson, but, you know, there's a little more expectations maybe with Will Anderson. So I think this is a guy that, you know, he's, you know, the money and all that sitting out. I mean, he wants to play football and he wants to win. And I mean, he's the perfect for Nick Saban's system, perfect coming out of that program. And so I just, you know, pray to the football gods he stays healthy.
You know, some of the most impressive tape I've seen from Will Anderson as a true freshman, sliding inside and kind of a bare front and playing three tech as a true freshman edge rusher, surviving at three tech against SEC guards. Very, very impressive. This kid is very strong.
And obviously a guy that took home a lot of hardware, as Dane alluded to, and another guy for the Crimson Tide that also brought home a lot of hardware was Bryce Young, the quarterback. Dane alluded to that. I would bring him up, and that's exactly who I want to talk about. 6'1", 194 pounds. That's what he's listed at. That would be smaller than any quarterback that's been drafted from a weight standpoint in the last decade. 194 pounds, obviously very, very light, very, very slight for the quarterback position. Now, that to me is like the bit, that's the crux of the conversation with Bryce Young, is are you able to get past that? Because if you get past the size, I think you see a really twitched up thrower who displays outstanding ball placement, accuracy, and touch to all three levels of the field. I love his toughness and poise in every situation imaginable. There are so many throws from last year where the protection breaks down and he is about to get throttled by an SEC defender, an Auburn linebacker, an LSU defensive end, a Georgia Bulldog linebacker coming from the second level clean, and he delivers on target, on the money, on time, time and time and time again. So I think you look at Bryce Young and you say that, look, you got to get past the size. But when you get past that point, this is a guy that is really, really good quarterback. All the different things you're looking for, from getting through his progressions, the twitch when he throws. I know, Ben, that was something that really stood out to you when you studied him. Bryce Young is just a really, really good football player. And again, it's just going to come down to the size with him.
Yeah, his twitch was really impressive, able to kind of see things, get his feet set, and then have a quick throwing motion, and just so gifted with his accuracy. He can play so fast, from looking left and immediately making a decision right, or maybe a free hitter coming down the barrel and getting his eyes to the right spot, feet set, a whippy arm motion. That ball comes out pretty hot most of the time, too. And surprisingly, watching that tape, Fran, you may not think it, with a 1,600-yard season from Jameson Williams and all the weapons, kind of thought some of the skill players let him down
no
at
question.
Times.
No question. Absolutely.
Tons of drops and great ball placement that really weren't hauled in on the other side. So I think Bryce Young could have been even better last season with some of those plays made on the back end.
I agree. Yeah, I should get your thoughts, Dan.
Yeah, some of the pillars of my scouting education came from Bill Walsh, and especially on the offensive side of the ball, and especially a quarterback. And something that Bill Walsh always talked about separating the good from the great at the position is the ability to make the spontaneous decision. And that's something that Bryce Young does all the time. He understands where the pressure is coming from. He understands what the defense is trying to do. And he understands where his guys are going to be so he can make a play. So the poise, the processing, he makes defenses pay for blitzing him. And so there's so much there to like from a mental standpoint and then from an execution standpoint. So the size, that's something that is not going to, it's going to follow him between now and the draft and into the NFL. And so it's something that's going to be really interesting to watch.
So when we do these top senior categories, top prospect categories, typically we talk about a guy and he's, all right, this is a top 10 quality prospect. We've talked about two that could potentially go in the top five. Well, let's make it three guys that could potentially go in the top five here in the SEC. Ben, I know you want to talk about Georgia defensive tackle Jalen Carter.
Yeah, Jalen Carter is really special. True junior out there, 6'2", about 310 pounds. And everything I'm about to say, he does in an elite fashion. He is explosive. He's quick-footed. He's light on his feet. Exceptional balance, body control, twitch. I know I just said a lot of traits there. He does all those in an elite degree. He is very heavy-handed. He's stout. But his get-off, excuse me, guys, his his get-off at 6'2", 310 pounds, that initial burst, the quickness off the ball, is exceptional. He's an exceptional athlete for his size and strong. Can make the plays vertically in the backfield, can make the plays laterally down the line of scrimmage left and right, can make the plays in space, make the plays off blocks. But how good are we talking here with Jalen Carter? We know he's a first-round talent, a front end of the first round. Who is he like? Who are you getting? This isn't a Chris Jones type, too tall, too long, not an Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's undersized and quick. You know, Akeem Hicks, Fletcher Cox, more of the brute strength types. Jeffrey Simmons, again, a heavy-handed power guy. I really think this is a combination of like a Marcel Darius, who I think he's going to test like at 6'3", 315, 493.
Yep.
Third overall pick.
Sure.
I could see that ballpark as well. Or Kenny Clark.
Interesting.
Who Kenny Clark has an exceptional combination of quickness and leverage. Mm. And I just think you're getting somebody that's an exceptional athlete in a very stout package. So Jalen Carter at 6'2", 310. I think finding an NFL comparison is a little bit tricky. But a Marcel Darius type coming out of Auburn several years ago was very highly thought of. Coming out of Alabama several years ago was thought very highly by the NFL, being the third overall pick. And I could see Jalen Carter kind of falling in that same path.
Came out of Apopka High School in Florida, same high school as Warren Sapp.
There you go.
So you want to make another comparison there in terms of from a positional standpoint. To me, one of the things that stands out to me about Carter, you know, last year, Georgia, they had all those linemen that came out. Obviously, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, both guys go in the first round. Well, both of those guys, they were kind of ridiculed from like the from an analytics standpoint because their win rates weren't super high. Jalen Carter's win rates through the roof in terms of his ability to win off the ball. And that stands out, Dane, when you watch this guy on tape.
The body control is really phenomenal for a guy that's over 300 pounds. And it's nuts that Georgia set a record last year in last year's draft with the five defenders in the first round. And the best guy out of them all is still in Athens, number 88, Jalen Carter. So there's so much to like about the player. I was surprised a little bit that talking with scouts and some other guys around the league this summer about Will Anderson, it wasn't a consensus that Will Anderson was the best player. There is several around the league that believe Jalen Carter, if the draft was today, Jalen Carter could be the number one overall or the first non-quarterback drafted ahead of Anderson. That's how highly a lot of people think of Carter.
And I think you'll get different opinions based on needs as well. I mean, I'm just throwing a team out like the Chargers. You have Bosa and Khalil Mack. Could they be in the market for an interior guy because of the complementative set they already have? So I think Jalen Carter, Will Anderson will be a conversation for the next, 7-8 months. It's going to be a fun one. Two elite prospects. And I really don't see them shaking out of the top five, no matter how you put it.
And I think it's a preference too, because you have a guy, what's harder to find? That interior pressure, right? And so if you believe Jalen Carter can give you that on a routine basis, that's harder to find than necessarily a Will Anderson, even if you believe Will Anderson's going to be the next Von Miller. So, I mean, we're throwing a lot of, putting a lot of hype around these two guys, but they both deserve it for what they do in the defensive line.
By the way, with Carter, didn't move to the defensive line until his senior year of high school. So this is a guy that's still pretty green to the position.
What was he
doing
before that?
I think he must have been a linebacker. That's the only thing I think of. Because, for a guy that has not been playing the position long, just really, really productive. Scary player, for sure, up front for Georgia. Let's get into the rest of these categories. Obviously, we spent a lot of time on those first three because they are elite talents. But we're going to continue talking about some really impressive blue-chip prospects. Top senior overall on offense in the SEC. I'll start things off, and I want to talk about Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. 6'4", 230 pounds. This is a big kid, good-looking kid. Started his career at Penn State. Was kind of lost in the QB shuffle there. Penn State ended up transferring out. Ends up at Kentucky, starts last year, and right off the bat, just really, really impressive with his size, athleticism, and arm talent. So I think when you're looking at it from a trait standpoint, Will Levis stands out. Where you'd like to see him improve, and he's got a little bit of a different offense this year. It's a new coordinator, new play caller. Some of the verbiage will be the same, but I think when you look at just his tape from last year in 2021, ball placement can improve a little bit. You'd like to see his decision-making and his mental processing get a little bit better as well. I thought he was a little bit slow to get through reads and sometimes would take off a little bit early. But when you're looking at the traits and what this guy could be and going into year two as a starter, NFL scheme, Rich Scangarello, now the offensive coordinator there. He's a longtime NFL position coach and coordinator. So I think when you look at Will Levis, the arrow is pointing up. Now, he'll be a 24-year-old rookie next year. That's something that could rub people the wrong way. But I think when you look at Levis, there's a lot to like, for sure, if you're looking at it from a pure trait standpoint. So that's Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky. Ben, take us through your top senior on offense.
Yeah, Levis with some really translatable schemes as well with that Kentucky offense. A lot of under center play action concepts you see in the NFL. Should have some new weapons on the outside with Wandale and some guys going to the NFL. I think the top senior wide receiver in college football is Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee. And I don't even think it's close, guys. I don't know who would even challenge him to be the top senior receiver in college football. Dante Demas, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks maybe are in the conversation. But this kid is a very impressive blend of size, speed, and play strength. At 6'3", 215, with over 34-inch arms, he is an impressive-looking specimen at the receiver position. But he's really just a one-year player. And he had a pretty good season last year under Josh Heupel and that new offense out there in Tennessee, over 1,000 yards. Really good size-speed combo, as I had mentioned, good burst. If he gets off coverage, man, you could really see him roll off the line of scrimmage, watch the Alabama game, put him in the slot, really ran up on the toes of that nickel safety out there. Really good at the catch point, competitive, can high point it. A bunch of Hendon Hooker just saw him one-on-one and just threw it up and expected his guy to make a play. And most of the times he did. But in combination with that, he works the middle of the field really well. In the seams, the posts, the slants, he'll take hits right after the catch. He's tougher in the middle. You know, he's a good effort blocker just because of his size. Not a great yak presence, but he's just such an impressive athlete. If you give him some room and space, he'll take off on you and take away some angles. Who is he like? You know, like a Courtland Sutton at SMU, or the way George Pickens played at Georgia last year. Pickens, maybe 10 pounds lighter, but we all know Pickens is kind of a physical, brute strong type of player. But he tested at 4.4. Courtland Sutton's more of a 4.55 guy. I think he's going to be right in the middle, right around a 4.51, maybe 4.49. But Cedric Tillman, Tennessee, don't forget about him in that offense. Really impressive receiver.
The name might sound familiar. His dad spent a few years in the league. Tennessee was actually his only Power 5 offer. Wow. And he came through and has had a really strong career, really came on, obviously, last year, over 1,000 yards in that new offense. First 1,000-yard receiver at Tennessee since Justin Hunter back in 2012. Wow. So it had been a little bit of time. But Cedric Tillman, he is a lot of fun. You're talking about the from a height, weight, speed standpoint, this class full of receivers that kind of fit that bill. Dane, how about you? Who's your top senior on offense?
Yeah, and Tillman reminds me a lot of Nico Collins when he's coming out of Michigan. And I don't be surprised if Collins has a little bit of a breakthrough season this year with the Texans. Levis and Tillman were the first two names that came to mind for this category for me. So with those two guys off the board, I'm going to go with a guy that's really talented, not a really well-known player at this point, but Kenny McIntosh, so running back at Georgia, obviously blocked on the depth chart last few seasons. Zamir White, James Cook, both were drafted top four rounds last year. But and just based on the production, 753 rushing yards over his first 3 years in Athens, not that impressive. But now that he's at the top of the depth chart, I think a breakout senior year is coming. He can do everything, run with speed, quickness, power. He can catch the football. We know Georgia, they're going to rely a ton on that ground game. So look for him to really blossom this year as a senior and emerge as a not only a draftable player, but maybe the top senior running back and a guy that you're going to consider maybe on day two.
Zamir White, former Georgia running back, now with the Las Vegas Raiders, he was raving to me about McIntosh back at the combine, said his versatility really stands out. He could be physical, he can catch, he can block, and he could do everything. And he was asked to do a little bit of everything. You had Zamir White to bang between the tackles. You had James Cook for all the space plays and perimeter plays. McIntosh was kind of that blend of those two styles. So he should be a really interesting fit with this Georgia Bulldog offense here.
Are we rolling the pronunciation off? Is it just McIntosh? McIntosh?
I got to look that up still. I went with McIntosh. But
I think I heard three different pronunciations the last 30 seconds.
Well, one of us is right.
Now you're making me nervous.
One of them is right, so we know that's for a fact. Let's stay on offense here. Most intriguing underclassman, Ben, you were talking about a guy that I was really high on after watching the tape.
Yeah, you know, Dane's talking about breakout players in the NFL. Talk about a breakout player in college football. Get ready for Jaheim Bell at South Carolina, who is a tight end, H-back, slot receiver. They listed in his bio on the site. He is a Swiss Army knife at 6'3", 230 pounds, former high school tight end receiver. Actually had an ACL injury halfway through his senior year that really kind of killed some of his buzz heading into his South Carolina career. But, you know, we had talked about a few weeks ago at the Pac-12, Brant Cuthie.
Yeah.
He's really a similar type of player. A mismatch nightmare over the middle of the field. You just want to put the ball in his hands. Who are we talking about from an NFL perspective? Maybe a Charles Clay or a Trey Burton type of guy. Very unconventional type of football player, but an exceptional athlete. In South Carolina, they got Spencer Rattler coming over. Austin Stogner's coming over, more of a traditional tight end. I think Bell is really going to feast in this offense with Josh Vaughn on the outside at receiver. Yep. Look for Bell at South Carolina to have a huge season. Just under 500 yards last year. I really think he's going to ramp that up and could be pushing 1,000 yards from everything I'm hearing.
The efficiency ratings on Jaheim Bell, outstanding. You know, at 6'3", 230, like you mentioned, Ben, he spent a lot of his time in space. over 11.5 yards after the catch per reception. Insane playmaking ability.
It's like a Gerald Everett almost at USA.
Oh, yeah, 3.6 yards per route run. Just a guy that has shown that he can be a big play threat. They lined him up at fullback and gave him dives, and he took one like 60 yards to the house in the SEC. Jaheim Bell, he is a really, really fun watch. Dane, how about you? Who's your senior or underclassman, I should say, to watch here in the SEC?
Yeah, we're talking most intriguing. So forget the SEC. Anthony Richardson, Florida quarterback, he might be the most intriguing player in all of college football. A rare physical profile, 6'4", 240 pounds, outstanding athleticism for that size. He has the speed to gash defenses, the big body. He can shrug off tacklers. The ball explodes out of his hand. But with him, we're talking about 66 career pass attempts. So the sample size is just not there yet. Last year, he was still learning the playbook, wasn't a full-time starter. Now this year, Richardson, he's expected to be the guy for new head coach Billy Napier. And it'll be interesting to see how the new coaching staff adjusts the game plan for this quarterback's unique skills. So there's plenty of unknown right now with Richardson, just in terms of the development, the execution, how this season's going to play out for him. But there's at least a path where he could be a Cam Newton, have a Cam Newton like season and ends up as the top pick. I'm not saying there's a high chance of that happening, but with his talent, it's at least a potential outcome of a myriad of outcomes. That's how talented this guy is, and that's what makes him so intriguing.
I mean, dynamic athlete who can spin it and put the ball anywhere he wants on the football field. It's just a matter of what's he going to look like as a starter. Fun player to
start. From what I hear, Dane, the NFL likes traits.
Yeah,
and this guy is just oozing with traits. And now let's see if he can put it together and, you know, produce on the field. But even if he doesn't produce, the NFL will still be intrigued with his traits.
Yeah, and he still obviously has a couple years left remaining from an eligibility standpoint. So you guys left me with the third pick here, and I couldn't decide between running back Jahmyr Gibbs, now at Alabama, and wide receiver Kayshon Boutte from LSU. Both of those guys neck and neck next to each other for me when I list all these players out. I'm going to go with Gibbs, even though, I mean, Boutte, look, he was a freshman All-American, set all kinds of records in his first year at LSU, had 9 touchdowns last year despite all the injuries and quarterback flux and all of that with LSU. But I want to talk about Jahmyr Gibbs because this guy is just so much fun. 5'11", 200 pounds, previously with Georgia Tech, and he was a second-team All-American last year for the Ramblin' Wreck. So you look at Gibbs coming over now. He's going to take over in that role as the lead back for Alabama. 5'11", 200 pounds. And when we think of Alabama running backs historically, we don't think of the dynamic, shifty space players. They're really the only guy that I could think of since Saban has been there that kind of fits that mold and has gone on to NFL success, Kenyon Drake. All the other guys have been your bigger, you know, the more of the bruiser between the tackles, downhill runners. Gibbs is a slasher. Gibbs is, his usage in the pass game last year at Georgia Tech was so much fun. All kinds of stuff, running vertically from out of the backfield, certainly the screen game, but they moved him around in the slot, did all kinds of different things with him. Really smooth athlete, catches the ball well, legit juice to the perimeter, good field vision. I thought that he saw things pretty well. Assignment aware as a pass protector, immediate kick return value. So this is a guy that I think offers 4-down value going into the NFL. I can't wait to see what he looks like in the SEC, because if last year was any indication what he did against ACC competition, Gibbs is really going to have a fun season this year for the Crimson Tide. So really fun player to watch.
Fran, was there any comparison that came to mind when you were watching? I mean, the only thing I do worry about with him is just the 200 pounds. You know, he's a little bit lighter, doesn't have maybe ideally what you're looking for size-wise. Was there anyone that kind of stood out to you as maybe a direct comparison?
So I didn't write anybody down. I've talked with people that have said Alvin Kamara. I think he's a little bit better in terms of working between the tackles as a natural runner than Kamara was coming out of Tennessee. I've heard some Dalvin Cook, and I think that matches too. But I mean, again, we're talking about two of the premier running backs in the National Football League. So I think that kind of speaks to what Gibbs is as a prospect.
The two names I have, Dane, are Mark Ingram and Devontae Freeman.
Interesting.
So a little bit of a shorter profile. I don't think he's going to be an elite testing type of guy, but I think he'll kind of flirt right around, you know, 4.50, 4.52, and be a really good kind of 3-down back.
I think he's got juice.
All those guys we mentioned were all above 210 pounds, right?
Yep.
So if he does come in around 200, it's just it'll be interesting to see ultimately what he, you know, tips the scales in at the combine, just in terms of trying to find that comparison that makes sense.
All right, well, let's go to the defensive side of the football. Top senior on defense in the SEC. Dan, you're leading us off with a player that I absolutely love on tape, and that's Georgia pass rusher Nolan Smith.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me the first pick here. Georgia linebacker Nolan Smith. The guy's a stud. Rush the passer. He can make stops versus the run. He's smart. He's twitched up. I think my favorite thing about him is the energy that he brings every day on and off the field. Talking to scouts and Georgia players last year, they all said Smith was the vocal leader of that defense. A little bit of a tweener. That'll hurt him a little bit with some schemes. But, I think that he's too good that it's not going to necessarily drop him when we talk about draft grades and projections. As a senior, I want to see him become a little more nuanced with his rush plan. Make sure he's maximizing those gifts that he has.
I think it's fair.
And he's probably, 230, 235, at his best. And so, I think he loves to go at blockers with power. But you know what? He's not the biggest guy. And so he needs to learn to work off of that and introduce different things. But I think this guy's got a universal approval rating. Even if you don't love him, you really like him. And so he's just going to be a really good pro.
I mean, that's the thing when you talk about from a size standpoint, like he doesn't have like that amount of mass to be able to just push people around. But dude, this guy's, I think people look at it from how he's listed on the roster page and like, oh, he's not powerful. Like he is so powerful. He's athletic. You talk about the motor, you talk about the toughness, run game, pass game, move backwards. He's played over 200 snaps on special teams already going into his senior year. Dude, I love Nolan Smith. Honestly, it's very similar to what we were talking about with Bryce Young. Like, get past the size with Nolan Smith, and it's a really good football player, Ben.
And I'm really happy he's kind of come out the other side because the Georgia community was all over this kid when he first got there.
Yeah, because
he was the number one recruit out of high school.
Yep.
Ahead of Kayvon Thibodeau, ahead of Derek Stingley in 2019, and didn't really produce right away. High expectations. Fans were burying this kid. Anytime I went to talk about him on Twitter in 2019 or 2020, just to hype him up, Georgia fans just breathing down my neck saying, this kid has not done a thing. This is a really good kid, smart kid, well-spoken, good smile, CEO type, and now he's putting it together on the field off of a national championship season. I'm really happy for this kid to come through the other side. I think he's a top 50 player all day long, and
all day.
A lot of production to be had now in that Georgia defense. It's going to be a race to the quarterback between him and Jalen Carter, and I'm sure a couple 5-stars we'll learn about next year.
Yeah, top 50 easy, and I think you're looking like arrow pointing up on what that could be a few months from now. Let's talk Alabama safety Jordan Battle, who's going to be my top senior on defense coming in. 6'1", 215, so he's got good size. I studied him last fall thinking he was going to come out. He was going to be a junior last year. He ends up going back for his senior season after being an All-American, first-team All-SEC. Production, not quite there for Jordan Battle, and I think that might be one of the big knocks, but this is a guy who began his career as a core four special teamer, and you say, all right, well, he can come in, and he could definitely do that. He reads route concepts so well. He is a really, really smart coverage player. He's always where he needs to be. His route recognition was really, really good, and that was one of the things I really liked. I'd like to just see him get a little bit better at a number of these other areas, though. I thought his downhill angles in terms of attacking the run and playing from depth were fine, but not great. I thought that his athleticism, this isn't anything that's going to change, but his athleticism and speed, like, fine, but not great. And so you have to be able to fine-tune some of those other areas to really kind of raise that ceiling a little bit. But I think when you talk about the high floor, Jordan Battle, starting safety, he's got the looks of a starting safety all day. So I think his film is pretty good, Ben.
Yeah, and his special teams contributions in there, so experienced, a lot of good players in the Alabama defense.
Yeah, you're going to talk about another one of them, Henry Toyotoyo.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my top seniors on defense. He returned for that senior campaign, highly touted recruit coming out of high school, started 22 games in his first 2 years at Tennessee. Remember, guys, Tennessee transfer, first year at Alabama in 2021. This is a three-down linebacker who's fluid, athletic, twitchy, incredible instincts in FBI. He's a square-up tackler, really good play, flow, and effort. He has plays, Fran, where he's blitzing, and then the ball comes out, and he just retraces and goes and hunts the ball. Incredible effort and awareness. And just kind of in comparison to his linebacker mate last year, I thought he had better instincts and play ID than Christian Harris. I thought he had better take on and stack and shed than Christian Harris. I thought he was longer than Christian Harris. Has a pretty good special teams profile as well. Did some personal protecting at Tennessee as well. Even involved in a couple fakes where I think he caught a pass or two or a handoff back there. Now, what are some of the issues? This is not a killer. This is not a thumping linebacker. This is not a 230-pound enforcer over the middle. He's athletic. He's fluid. He's swift. He's got to get stronger. Too much drag down tackling, too much stuck on blocks. In the SEC, you see it a lot, and you're just kind of envisioning what it's going to be like in the NFL. Very well-rounded. I will give him a B-plus in everything.
Right.
Yep. Is he an A in anything? I don't know.
It's like battle. It's yeah. the same
and
kind
the
of
issue
deal.
Thing in comparing him to Christian Harris, I don't think he's going to test like Harris did, running 4-4-4 and, you know, broading 11 feet. I don't think he's that level of athlete. But I think he's a better football player than Christian Harris. I know I'm talking in a circle here around, so I think he's a really solid player, kind of right on the cusp of being a top 50 player, and I could see him going right there late round two, early round three, just like Christian Harris.
He stepped right into that Nick Saban defense, took over, and was rock solid from the jump for that.
Is that
Crimson
a fair profile?
Defense.
You guys watch him yet? Yeah, Dane, what do you think about Toyo Toyo?
The things that I love that I would give him an A or even an A plus, his twitch and trigger. I mean, it is so, so impressive. I do think that there are times where he can get eaten up in the run game. The lack of size, he's not a super long player, like you saw, like you said, you know, and so that, that's something that you just wish he was a little bit bigger, a little bit longer, a little bit stronger. That was kind of the main takeaway. If you're talking about the negatives with him, but no, I'm a big fan. He's especially in today's NFL with what you're looking for at linebacker, you want those run and chase guys. I think he checks a lot of those boxes. I don't know if he makes it and ends up going in the top, 60 picks, but somewhere if he doesn't go in the top 60 picks, I would love the value that I'm getting with a guy like this after that.
All right, well, let's move to the underclassmen ranks here on defense. And I'm going to lead this category off. And Dane, I remember texting you immediately after I finished watching this player. And that's Florida defensive tackle Jervon Dexter, 6'6", 313 pounds. I didn't really know much about him before studying him. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus snuck him into the back end of his too early mock draft back in May. I watched Dexter and was blown away. First of all, this is a guy that I think can line up anywhere from 0 to 5 technique. So I love the position versatility, really well-built frame. He can line up anywhere and win. Really light feet. He's got some dancing bear traits to him. Powerful pocket pusher. He can change the line of scrimmage right at the snap. But he was also very strong and held his ground really well in the run game. So good-looking kid with light feet who can push the pocket and hold the anchor in the run game. You can really work with that. I thought that he really made the most of his length. He was able to shock blocks and discard really, really quick. Impressive block recognition and destruction in the run game. Handled double teams really well. The only knock I really had on him, guys, was that as a pass rusher, I didn't see like a true technician yet, a true craftsman. Most effective move was his bull rush. That was what he really relied on. He had a couple other moves in his bag, but I think outside of that, like, this is a guy that checks a lot of the boxes. I was at Temple with Muhammad Wilkerson when Wilkerson came out. He was a late first round pick. To me, the body type, the way that Dexter moved, reminded me so much of Muhammad, and I think that they could go in similar areas of the draft. I think that when you look at Dexter and what he brings to the table in today's league, where everybody's looking to play multiple fronts and have guys that can do a number of different things, I think Dexter is a perfect fit. If he could take the next step, I think you're talking about a guy that's in that next tier just below Jalen Carter on the interior in this class. He is a really, really impressive prospect, Ben.
Yeah, I think the Alabama game is all you need to put on.
That's it. Yeah.
Absolutely bench pressing their interior three linemen off them and making plays. I know they obviously didn't win the game, but just go put on that tape, watch number 9, and believe me, he looks the part.
No doubt.
There was that Alabama tape. There's one play where he just uproots the center, drives him backwards.
Yes.
I mean, it just the power that he plays with. Reminded me a lot of Chris Jones, just with that ability to, even for a guy that's that tall, play from a low position and make plays, not just as a pass rusher, not just as a run defender, but in all areas. And so I do think consistency needs to improve for him, but the starter kit is there for him to really break through the season as one of the better interior defensive linemen in all of college football.
If you're a Florida Gator defender the last 10 years, consistency is the issue.
Yeah, right.
Like right now, you could just take a snapshot of their defense. Trey Dean I could show you something to make him look like a Hall of Famer and something to make him look like he can't play. Brenton Cox, same thing. You know, there's just talent all over that defense. They just need to settle down and be more consistent. So much talent.
Oh, speaking of talent, one team that had a ton of talent in last year's draft, there was a lot of hype about Texas A&M coming into the season and those guys. A couple of them went in the first round. Others went like undrafted. So those preseason hypes, you know, kind of matched for some of those players. Ben, there's another one here, Antonio Johnson, who's like a nickel safety, right?
You know, I've had my eyes on Damani Richardson out there for a couple of years. Now I'm through with him. I watched this Antonio Johnson nickel safety. Wow, guys. This is a massive, massive, yet fluid 6'3", 200-pound, long limb nickelback with quick triggers, physicality, range, ball skills, man matchup ability. This is the new NFL nickelback. This is a guy that's not a liability with his size, yet you still have the athleticism, the playmaking ability, the plays in coverage, the straight line speed, the effort. Antonio Johnson, Texas A&M. I don't know if they're changing his role or whatnot for next year, but go ahead and put on any of the games in 2021. Big presence in the slot out there. Really impressive athlete.
Yeah, I know. You've been talking about this guy for a little bit. And an impressive profile. I have not studied him yet, but excited to dig further into him. Let's stay in the secondary here, Dane. I know we'll go back to you for a guy that we need to know in the Georgia defensive backfield.
Yeah, thanks for leaving the best, one of the best underclassmen defenders in all of college football for me. Keely Ringo from Georgia. Yeah, this one was an easy pick. He enters the season as my top-ranked corner for the 2023 draft. Size speed freak, 6'2", 210 pounds, runs a legit 4.340. He was in Bruce Feldman's freak list high for a reason. And all that athleticism, it translates to the field. In coverage, if you want to see pure speed, just watch that game-sealing interception against Alabama in the national title game. And you look at Georgia, they've produced some really freaky corners the last few years. Eric Stokes, Tyson Campbell, Ringo, he's got a chance to be the best out of all of them with his skill set. So, you know, he was a five-star guy coming out of high school. Everybody wanted him, goes to Georgia, had a labrum his first year, so he redshirted. And then this past year, he, you know, worked hard to get himself into the starting rotation. So now going into his redshirt sophomore year in 2022, there's some expectations there. You know, what is he going to do as a full-time guy? So it'll be a lot of fun to watch that development with him.
Yeah, Ringo, like you mentioned, a guy that was on Bruce Feldman's freak list this past year, just dropped last week. Another guy that was on that freak list, Ben, your top sleeper here in the SEC, that's new Alabama wide receiver Tyler Harrell. He was on the freak list not just this summer, but last summer as well when he was at Louisville.
Yeah, track star receiver and Tyler Harrell. But this isn't the DeSean Jackson, you know, Taylor Gabriel, Travis Benjamin track star. This is 6 foot, 190 pounds, good size with track speed. We're talking
Jameson Williams.
Yeah, we're talking 10.3, 700 meter.
Yep.
We're talking maybe 4.1940 type of speed, as Bruce Feldman has alluded to in his freak list article, with a 1.40 10-yard split. I think the combine record is Chris Johnson at 1.41, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, might be 1.40 as well, but we're talking elite speed. Interesting career, though. You know, he played 375 snaps at Louisville last year. Impressive. Almost 30 yards a catch on 18 catches. Not a lot of production, but big plays when he got the ball. Only 39 snaps the previous 3 years. This is a guy that's been at Louisville for 4 years and has barely played, barely been on the field.
Yep.
So there's a lot of questions, what's going on kind of between the ears, if he's ready, if he's mature. Long story short, he's at Alabama now. The last transfer receiver seemed to work out in Jameson Williams. Yeah. He could be, kind of in line for another, a huge season in a new home. And so Tyler Harrell, Alabama.
The Georgia kid is there too, who also has that speed profile. Why am I blanking on his name?
Jermaine,
help me out here.
Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton. Yes, Burton, thank you. Yeah, who also like same kind of like speed profile and a guy that can attack vertically.
For some reason, my brain wanted to say Slade Bolden.
Yeah,
I know he's off of the NFL.
He's a slot.
Now,
yeah.
Jermaine Burton, I put in my first
could
round
be on this list.
First round mock. I mean, he's awesome. And I mean, you look at Tyler Harrell last year at Louisville. He had only 18 catches. But six of them were for touchdowns. He averaged almost 30 yards per reception. 30.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. So speed definitely is there. It's just, can he become a little more well-rounded and more of a consistent threat at all levels of the field?
Dane, who's your sleeper here?
It's tough to come up with sleepers in the SEC because of just the microscope on the conference. But I really haven't heard much about J.J. Weaver at Kentucky. But, you know, watching different tapes this summer, he consistently stood out, especially when I was watching offensive players throw on the Tennessee tape. Routinely, this guy's showing up. 6'5", 245-pound edge rusher. He's got quickness off the ball, strength in his hands. Worked himself into the starting rotation last year, and he should be one of the leaders for that Wildcats defense this year as a junior. So looking for J.J. Weaver to take that next step and really announce himself as an early-round pass rusher this year.
Love it. I'm going to stick in the trenches there on the defensive line. And I want to talk about Auburn's Colby Wooden, who actually started his career as an outside linebacker, pass rusher there with the Tigers, but has continued to add weight. And I feel like his best bet is to be kind of like a 3 technique or 5 technique in the NFL. And again, getting back to what we talked about, that versatility up front is something that all NFL teams are trying to find, is guys that can line up at different spots and win. 6'5", 284 pounds. This kid's athletic, really twitchy off the ball. He could be an interior disruptor. He did it from the jump. He was a freshman All-SEC pick back in 2020. He reminds me, guys, of Draymond Jones when Jones was coming out of Ohio State, and that a lot of high variance with his play, where there's some really good reps, and then there's ones where he's getting rocked around on the interior. So I think as he continues to get bigger and stronger, starts to get a little bit more used to dealing with contact, dealing with double teams inside, and kind of learning how to play in the trenches, I think the arrow could be pointing up here on Colby Wooden, who is, you know, he's being talked about right now. I think he's probably viewed more as like a day two pick. But I think at the end of the day, this guy could be getting into the top 32 when it's all said and done. So for me, Colby Wooden from Auburn, defensive lineman you need to watch. Big sleep there in the SEC. Let's now get to our most approved. Someone with, maybe it's coming off injury, scheme change, just general inconsistencies from the way that they played a year ago. Dane, we'll come to you first.
I'm going to go with a couple edge rushers in this category. LSU's Allie Gay, long, athletic, quick. He was a JUCO guy, a little bit late to the game. And it shows. I mean, all the tools are there, but he's still figuring out how to use all of those gifts. Likely would have been a day two pick last year, but he got hurt. So he's returning for 2022. Plenty for him to show this season. And then at Florida, Brenton Cox, big time edge speed. His hands, they're not necessarily heavy, but they're quick. And he can make it tough for blockers to counter what he throws at them. The big thing with him, or come in the run game, he can get eaten up. And then also from a maturity standpoint, he has a lot of work to do. The former Gators coaching staff, we're very open with scouts about their issues with him, things that I don't even feel comfortable repeating. But he has a chance at a fresh start with Billy Napier and his staff now in Gainesville. So we'll see if he can turn things around, because the talent is there for him to be drafted and be a part of a rotation in the NFL.
So we've talked about a handful of players in this podcast that could go in like the top 5, top 10 range. I want to bring up here for most approved, somebody who has been in the top 5 in a mock draft here this year, and that is Arik Gilbert, the tight end from Georgia. Mike Renner had him number 5 in his too early mock draft back in May. So we were talking a guy like in that Kyle Pitts territory. And when you watch him, guys, this guy, he's a freak. I mean, it's 6'5", 255 pounds. He is so athletic. He is silky smooth. He's got speed to get down the seam. But he's not just like a receiver, because he's a pretty efficient route runner, really good adjustments to the ball mid-flight, really soft hands. He can create with the ball after the catch. So he could do all those things. But he's also like not a bad blocker either. He's not a liability at the point of attack at all. He's a decent pass protector, the line of up in line, and he's not a stone-cold killer. He's not one of those guys that's like an assassin in the trenches. But this is a guy that can lose slow, do just enough for you that he could be a three-down player. He's 6'5", 255 pounds. That's what he's listed at on the roster page. Now, began his career at LSU. He was the first tight end in history to win National Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of high school. Not State Gatorade Player, National Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of high school. He was a big-time recruit, like a top 10, top 15 kind of guy. Gets to LSU, 35 catches for just under 400 yards, 2 touchdowns as a true freshman. Big name. Then he ends up transferring. Things went a little bit south at LSU. He ends up at Georgia. I think there was like confusion about where he was going to end up. He was at Georgia, then he wasn't, then he was back. It's been a little messy over the last like 18 months for Arik Gilbert. Get back onto the field, prove that you're a blue chip talent. I think you're talking about a guy that could be in that round one discussion again. So Arik Gilbert, blue chip talent, no question. If he can prove to just stay on the field and continue to be productive, there's no reason to think he won't be, Ben.
Yeah, that's a really good pick, actually. He probably represents this category.
Yeah. No doubt. And I know that he's another guy that you want to hit on here. Safety, Tyke Smith.
Yeah, you know, I kind of was all over the place on what to do here. I don't know how involved Tyke's going to be over at Georgia this year. West Virginia transferred, yep. Then he tore his ACL last year. He's from Philly at Ematep, so I want to give him some love there. Just not sure he's fully healthy yet and ready to contribute. But there's a couple guys, you know, in this conference that have a lot to prove. I think B.J. Ojulari at LSU needs to be a better run defender. Yes. We know he's got the pass rush juice. Tank Bigsby, running back at Auburn. I mean, he threatened to transfer this offseason. I know he had 1,000 yards. Some people are disappointed with him. 4 fumbles, 4 drops. Wasn't really that, you know, reliable presence that they needed him to be out there. And, you know, Dane touched on Kenny McIntosh at Georgia. I mean, most approve. I mean, he's been with that program for 3-4 years right now, always buried behind guys. You know, people want to see what he does as the lead back. And I know he's going to be splitting some time with Kendall Milton out there, but it seems like it's his show to, you know, prove what he can do, you know, in a senior campaign out there. He looks more like a Sony Michel type than a Nick Chubb. But he catches the ball well, good special teamer, just never more than 58 carries in a season. Just like to see him get some opportunities. So always some guys to prove in this conference.
Jalen Catalon, the safety from Arkansas, sure, is a guy that we talked about last summer. Yeah, he was a guy that we all liked him, right? Right, Dane?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned him because if you didn't, I was going to. He is, at his best, he's Antoine Winfield. I mean, that's how he plays. He doesn't know how to play half speed. He's a heat-seeking missile. It's just that there are some bad missed tackles on his tape. He needs to stay healthy. But when this guy is playing at his best, he looks like the real deal. So very interested to see what he looks like now going into what is redshirt junior year for the Hogs.
All right, well, let's get to another guy that has plenty to prove, but he is a newcomer on the scene, a transfer or a replacement player stepping in for a guy now in the NFL. And I'm going to lead this category off. I mean, guys, this was a universal number one pick going into last year, and that's Spencer Rattler, previously with Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. Now he's with Shane Beamer in South Carolina, 6'1", 205 pounds. All the traits you're looking for. He is a twitchy athlete. He's got all the arm talent you're looking for. The accuracy, I think, both inside and outside of structure was really, really impressive watching him as a redshirt freshman. Came back last year, and he was in and out of the lineup. He was benched. Then he was brought back in. It was a big controversy. He goes here, you got a change of scenery, new offense. What does Spencer Rattler look like here in the SEC? That's going to be one of the big storylines, I think, early on in this season. But Spencer Rattler going down to South Carolina, that is going to be a lot of fun to watch for sure. South Carolina, they got a bunch of guys, a bunch of new players coming in, a bunch of guys that we could have included in this segment. But Rattler, for sure, Ben, he's the headliner.
Yeah, a bunch of SEC teams have really hit the portal hard. I know Alabama's a little select in spots. Georgia's pretty select. There's some teams that are just full throttle forward, and that starts with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, just hitting that portal real hard. You got Ulysses Bentley coming over from SMU, running back, but he's paired with Zach Evans coming over from TCU. This is the second running back, number two running back coming out of high school behind Bijan Robinson. All sorts of ability out there. He could end up being one of the best running backs in the country. Really impressive. Look at Dane's running back preview he put out last week. I believe Evans was his second running back, if I'm not mistaken. But Jackson Dart coming over from USC, Kari Coleman, edge rusher from TCU, Ashimi Young, another Philly kid coming over from Iowa State, Troy Brown, Central Michigan, Mason Brooks, I think is a 3-year starter from Western Kentucky, Michael Trigg is a young tight end from USC. All sorts of new talent going to that Ole Miss team. Some mainstays on the offensive line. I believe the left tackle is moving into guard, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, yes. I forget
I'm blanking
the kid's
on his name right now. He's been there for a little bit. I'm trying to stall, and I think Jeremy James is going to be over on the left side this year. But a lot of new talent there, and let's see if they can catch lightning in a bottle.
You have a Nick Broker?
Yeah, Nick Broker, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mason Brooks, another guy up front for that. Another guy coming in. There was first-team All-Conference USA last year. Just crazy at Western Kentucky. All right, so let's get to the last one, Dane. This guy, we talked about him last year, a future stud, formerly from LSU, Eli Ricks, the corner now with Alabama.
Yeah, he fits a lot of categories here. Most approved, but I'm going to use him here under newcomer. But obviously the SEC is comfortable or familiar with him from his time at LSU. He's just a tough guy to get a read on. Over his first 2 years at LSU, you can see the cover talent. He has athletic talent. I mean, he's a guy that will get physical when you need him to. But the discipline issues, both on and off the field, it's something that really clouds his evaluation. I'm working on my corner preview right now, going up on The Athletic. By the time you're listening to this, it'll already be up. And I thought for sure he'd be in my top 5 corners. He's not. Part of that is just like I'm talking about. It's just some of the discipline issues that really kind of cloud what his next level projection is. And, you know, being part of Nick Saban's program, you better straighten up or you're out. And so it's he joins a cornerback depth chart that's got a lot of talent. He's not a lock to be a starter on this team. And so I think he's got work to do, and scouts will be watching closely to see if he can do it.
Production, a big question with him. I mean, he had four picks as a freshman. He was a third-team All-American that year, playing opposite Derek Stingley, but only one pick and a half TFL last year, 11 tackles. Obviously, didn't play a ton for LSU, but certainly a big name to watch here with Alabama. Guys, go ahead, Dane.
I'm sorry, one other transfer I did want to mention is Jaden Daniels at LSU, the quarterback, who at his best looks like a rail thin Trevor Lawrence. Okay, that's at his best.
Whoa.
Now, listen, let me.
All right.
We just don't see it enough. Okay, that's the thing.
Let me explain.
If I show you his 10 best plays from last year at Arizona State, you're in, I promise you. But when you watch everything in totality, you're like, okay, we'll back off a little bit here. He's a really thin player. The consistency is not there. But when he's at his best, it looks really good. And so going to LSU where, you know, theoretically he's going to be throwing to some better targets, mentioned Kayshon Boutte, and got a lot of talent there at LSU. So I'm interested to see Jaden Daniels to see what he does, with Brian Kelly's offense and everything they got brewing there at LSU.
All right, well, our last category here, guys, our future studs, a player not draft eligible for 2023, but we need to watch them for the future. Ben, this is a category you specialize in, and I got to think you were chomping at the bit for the
SEC. This is all people want to hear. They just want to know what's next. Yeah, I think they're already through with the 2023 class.
They're all done with Will Anderson, Jalen Carter.
No question. Yeah, right. So Texas A&M, obviously some dominant recruiting classes of late. Tyree Chappell's a true sophomore from Philly. A lot of Philly kids giving some love. H starts as a true freshman last year. He looks like a stud, but I got to mention center Bryce Foster, Texas A&M. He is a freak show. We'll be talking about him in a year or two as a first-round potential center, just like almost a legend of Tyler Linderbaum this whole last class. Bryce Foster, go look at his profile on Bruce Feldman's Freak List article and just his shot put and track and field background as well. Bryce Foster, Texas A&M, really impressive player.
Dane, how about you? You got one of the best names in college football here coming up on your list.
Yeah, hard to beat. Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner for Alabama. Last year as a true freshman, worked himself into the starting rotation. And by the end of the year, I mean, I think he was playing the most consistent of all those Alabama corners. So his future is bright. Very eager to watch him this year as a sophomore and see if he's maybe going to put himself in that first-round discussion at this time next year.
I don't know. Guys, is it just me or did you like leave me the two best players that are not draft eligible in the SEC? You guys left me Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, and Alabama pass rusher Dallas Turner. I wrote these were the first two names that came to my mind when I was putting out my list. And I was like, oh, well, Ben's going to take one and Dane's going to take the other. They're both available to me. So I'm going to talk real quickly about both. Turner is playing. He's obviously playing opposite of Will Anderson, right? So, there's going to be opportunities for him. They're going to be sliding protection the opposite way often. But I think when you look at Turner, this guy's a really good player in his own right. And then Brock Bowers absolutely tore the SEC up in his true freshman season last year. And, you know, he's a little bit undersized. He's more of like your move tight end, H-back, kind of do everything, Chris Cooley type, right? But this guy's really explosive athlete, 6'4", 230 pounds. I had a great conversation back at the Combine this past year with Channing Tindall. And Tindall was, he was one of the most explosive athletes in last year's draft. And I asked Tindall, I was like, tell me about Brock Bowers. And he was like, look, I had to cover him in practice a couple times. He definitely has speed, but I knew he was going to be a freak. It was a couple of his teammates back during the summer last year when Bowers first got there. He said, we had to run gassers. And he said, the 40-yard gassers, I'm racing a couple of my defensive line mates. And then Brock comes over and he's like, yeah, like I want to race you guys. And they all look at Brock Bowers like, are you kidding? Right, come on, you're not going to race us. And he's like, yeah. And so then Brock Bowers comes and he runs on two of those gassers. He runs stride for stride with Channing Tindall. And Tindall's like, okay, like this guy's got wheels. Like this guy can run. And then you go to the freak list. Bruce Feldman, they talk about his overall speed. 4.49 in the 40-yard dash for Brock Bowers. Like, this guy's a really impressive athlete. Was really, really productive last year. Second team All-American. Obviously, freshman All-American. Makes to the freak list. So, Brock Bowers, Dallas Turner, Bryce Foster, Kool-Aid McKinstry. those are five names. We could probably roll off another 10 and feel pretty good about it.
Is there anyone out there that's just like on the tip of your tongue, like is your pain to have not mentioned in the last 45 minutes?
I would think that people, if people thought that we didn't do a full breakdown of Kayshon Boutte in an SEC preview, they would think that's insane. But we didn't.
There's
we didn't
so many guys. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's crazy. We didn't talk about Cam Smith at South Carolina.
Cam Smith. Yeah. That was the one that I wanted to make sure we just mentioned his name at least. That guy is. He's fun. He's a ball hawk. He's big. He's physical. Yeah. There's some things that he needs to work on, but I just got finished watching him yesterday, and he's a big-time player. Darnell Washington, the tight end at Georgia. Yeah.
Ooh,
Georgia has two of my top five tight ends, and that doesn't include Bowers because he's not draft eligible. It is by far the best right. tight end depth chart that you know maybe I've ever scouted. So it's just, again, a loaded conference.
Cam Smith's impressive. Tall, long, fast, 4.4 speed. His technique is a mess. I have a Kevin King comp down as him. And there's two guys on Georgia's offensive line. I know a lot of guys just went to the NFL. Two guys that are redshirt sophomores. So in their third season at Georgia, that makes them draft eligible. But keep an eye on Broderick Jones at left tackle and Cedric Van Praan at center. Both very, very highly touted prospects. No clue if they're coming out this year, next year, the year after that, their sixth year, grad transfer in after that. Who knows? But they're both NFL-style players. And Chris Smith at safety. A lot of turnover in that Georgia secondary, the whole Georgia defense. Chris Smith seems like he's going to be one of the ones on the back end the NFL likes.
Well, two other interior linemen that I think we just have to mention because they're two of the best in the nation. Layden Robinson from A&M and then Javion Cohen from Alabama. I mean, could be two of the highest drafted interior lineman in next year's draft if they come out.
I mean, LSU defensive tackle Jacqueline Roy was in mock drafts all spring and summer. We didn't really get into him at all. There was another name that I saw too that I was like, oh yeah, we didn't talk about this guy.
Brian Branch from Alabama, the other safety, the underclassman. I mean, he's probably better than Battle. I haven't really done the safeties. I'm gonna start my safeties tomorrow, but I think there's a good chance Branch might be the better prospect than Jordan Battle is.
And you'll find people that will say Derek Hall is the best senior on defense in the conference, so the Auburn pass rusher. So, a lot of talent in the SEC.
I can't believe we didn't talk about Malachi Moore at Alabama.
I have to cut it off at some point, guys.
22 starts at nickel for Alabama the last two seasons. All right, he's a true junior. The NFL wants him, and we didn't talk about him.
Well, I'm sure there will be plenty of names that people will leave in the comment section, which, by the way, that's what you should be doing. Make sure you have any questions about any of these players. Head on over to our Apple Podcast page. Leave us a question in the comment box. Next week, guys, we are on the doorstep of the college football season. Next week, I'm thinking we're going to do like a takeaway episode. We've already gone through all the prospects, so I'm thinking maybe we like draft takeaways. Like, okay, what's after going through every position, every conference?
Let's just talk about every name we didn't preview. There's a couple leftovers, and we're going to cover them.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be back next week right here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by Life Brand.